following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
They'll know you've arrived when you drive up in the 1958 Edsel, the car that's truly new from nameplate to taillights.
Connie!
Hi, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
And now your host, Walt Disney.
Welcome to the Min Modcast, where we talk about all things mid-century America and around the world. I'm Craig. Who are you people?
I'm Paula.
I'm Dave.
And they're Dave. And we have on the Zoom, we're going to see how well this works out, Jeffrey Rhodes and Philip Sinar. They have the coolest mid-century modern home that I've seen in a long, long time. And Jeffrey is the founder administrator of Mid-century modness of the mid-century modness. Mod madness of the atomic age group on Facebook. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. We're talking today about some really interesting stuff, things from yesteryear that seem to still work today, but maybe they don't make it anymore, and we wish that they would. So if you're a manufacturer, pay attention and make what we demand of you. You will make dozens of dollars, if not more. Before we get into that, I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. Be sure to give us a good rating so you will make us all feel good about ourselves. And also, check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, and other places.
And Instagram.
We've got a page on Facebook that's growing rapidly. We love it. And we still have the Stuckey's giveaway going on. Paula, why don't you tell everyone about the Stuckey's giveaway? I'm just throwing that right at you without
me.
Any warning.
And this wasn't this all Dave's?
Was this Dave's?
I don't know, but I love it. I just want you to submit your great roadside traveling, going on the road, having fun photos in lovely Technicolor and give us a little anecdote about it. Tell us about it so we're not guessing what that photo is. And we've got some really cool entries in the last few days, which kind of are exciting. So we need more, you know, because
how does one enter again?
Submit your photo onto Facebook or what's our email address?
Midmodcast@gmail.com.
Midmodcast@gmail.com. And you know what's in the pack?
What's in the pack?
The pecan. Say it correctly.
Pecans.
The pecan rolls. The good old, it looks fantastic. And it's, you know, in our kitchen right now, but it needs to get
sent to.
Oh, it's right behind us. You guys can't see at home. I was going to hold it, but it's fantastic.
There's some other stuff in there also.
Yeah, there's postcards. There's stickers.
There's kind of like some, Cracker Jacks with pecans in it.
Cracker Jacks thingy-mabobber. And there's all kinds of yummy goodies just waiting for you.
So enter and win. It's that easy.
Of course, if everyone goes to the Min Modcast Facebook page, you'll see a photo of the lovely Paula.
Oh, that's right.
Posing with the Stuckey's prime pack.
It's called Hunky Dory.
Hunky Dory.
Here I am wrinkling the wrapper so you know it's real. Hunky Dory. All natural ingredients. Caramelized popcorn with almonds and pecans. Did I say it really well?
Pecans.
Just like Stephanie.
That's right. Stephanie Stuckey. Go to Stuckey's. Check out Stuckey's also. They are expanding. They're coming back. Stephanie's making a comeback. Hey, let's get down to business, guys. Jeffrey and Philip, as I was saying, they have a very cool mid-century modern home. How long have you guys been collecting mid-century modern stuff? How did you get into this whole mid-mod thing?
Since birth. Being born right in this dead center of it all. So that probably made an impression on me. I'm sure for Philip, it's a similar story. We all like to harken back to things that make us feel comfortable and childhood is one of those things. And you'll actually be able to walk around our house and see some things that were in my parents' home that I am now the owner of and proud to be. And it's just kind of cool to think that, you know, something has been around that long and is still being used and useful.
Yeah, Jeff's mom often says that he had, you know, a penchant as a child, and still holds true to today, that, you know, he would buy something, well, as a child, to play with and one to keep. So if you can find two of something now, that's better. You can always have one as a backup, you know, because, you know, there's such rarities and you want to be able to, you know, enjoy them, but also know that they're going to be around for a long time to give you enjoyment.
Is that a nice way of saying that he's a little bit of a hoarder? Is
it? Yeah. It's funny. We were just watching a little YouTube video about Eichler homes, and they happened to say, you know, they really reduce your desire to be sort of a hoarder or, you know, an overt collector, because you don't have a lot of room for that. Well, we were talking about homes in California. We're fortunate to be in Western Pennsylvania, where we still have an Eichler style home, but it's got a very full finished basement, which gives you lots of room to collect.
Key is on the word full.
Right. As we've mentioned before, Paul and I both grew up in Orange County, California, near the Eichler homes. There's a whole track there of Eichler homes that are just,
they're amazing.
Fantastic. But yes, yeah, yes. No one had a basement in California. Very few people have basements there. I think, well, it's the water level.
We were very fortunate when we got this house that it came with the original blueprints. And so we have all of them with all of the architect and the doctor who built the house, handwritten notes on it. So this house wasn't supposed to have a full basement. It was supposed to have a crawl space, but it's like four floors, and they added a full basement to it. So it's one of the floors, actual, you know, one of the four. But it's got a rumpus room on the next floor. And then we have the living room, dining room, kitchen on the next floor. And then you go upstairs, you've got three bedrooms and what used to be the doctor's office.
Oh, wow.
And so he built it in 62. And apparently computers weren't a thing. So whenever we moved in and we got this beautiful built-in desk with all the shelving and wainscoting around the room, we're like, oh, perfect place to put our computer. Well, there was no electricity. So we had to have electricity put in, but anyways. Yeah.
So jack for a rotary telephone.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
We've got some of those in our house. We've got mid-century there, architecture here too. Yeah. Yeah. We've got the four-plug thing. Is that what you guys had? The
yes.
Kind of, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And the whole house is, it has a Newtone system everywhere for intercom.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's currently not working. It turns on, but there isn't any sound. And boy, could we use it, because we're like, you know, wonder why they had this, you know, other than the fact that he was probably a doctor and could afford it. And now we know why, because when you're upstairs and you're yelling for each other, you cannot hear each other at all. So it would really be useful. So we got to find somebody to come in and take a look at it for us someday.
My dad was a doctor. I grew up in a house built in 1964, and we had the Newtone in the walls, and Mom would wake us up every morning screaming on that thing. And I honestly hate them and love them all at the same time. But I think that kind of takes us to our topic. Things that you don't find in homes these days that are actually really cool and would be useful. Now we put baby monitors places, I guess, but
yeah,
you know, the intercom.
Who hasn't texted somebody in a different room? Say, hey, you know, dinner's ready.
Or I need toilet paper, right?
Important stuff. In this case, the Newtones are even outside on the patio. So I mean,
wow.
To page somebody. Or, you know, you could have piped in music for your entertainment, you know. Right. So now we have to pull out the portable record player onto the patio with the Newtone. We were, you know, good to go. Just turn the switch on, but
we'll get it there.
Oh, I hope you can find someone who can fix it. That'd be amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that was my contribution to the whole program. I'm going to let you guys throw out some ideas of things from yesteryear that we wish we still had today.
Well, you know, going back to the Newtone, it would be nice to have that. And I have had somebody not into the house to look at it, but I've talked to them on the phone, and several people actually. And right away, they want to rip it out and put a new one in. And I'm like, nope. I don't want a modern piece of an electronics hanging off the wall. I love the idea that, you know, it's got the atomic logo on it with new tone, and you know, they're perfect. They just don't work. So, you know, that's a good example of, they do still make them, and new tone is in business, but they don't look anything like the vintage versions of them. I mean, obviously, you know, but so that would be one of the things that I would never do. I would never replace it with the modern system.
Have you looked into just getting the guts replaced and keeping all the plates?
I had somebody who thought that it's probably the tubes, because when you open it, it's the main units in the kitchen and it lights up, but nothing happens. I followed all the wires in the basement. Everything's hooked up and everything. So he thinks it's probably the tubes, but the guy wanted like X amount of money to come and even just diagnose it. And I'm like, you know, we need furniture, we need that thing to work. So
I'm sorry, I cut you off, Dave. You were about to say something.
Oh, I was just going to ask if, Jeffrey, is it strictly the intercom version, or do you have a turntable music system as part of it as well?
No, but if we get it working, there's certainly room to add the turntable. And I look at them on eBay all the time to see if I can find one at a decent price, just in case.
Has the love. AM FM radio.
It has
yeah.
And there is a real good hack out there on YouTube on how you can take the old ones and tap into them and use a modern device on it, like an iPhone or an iPad type thing, you know. So, and it's fairly easy. It's basically just tapping into the speaker jacks. But so we just working.
And do you by any chance have any of the built-in new tone countertop appliances in your 62?
No, he didn't go that far with them, the original doctor. He ended it with just the system in the wall. And obviously the front doorbell was also tied.
Oh, yeah.
Does work.
It's funny he didn't go, you know, to the next step, because Jeff often recounts the story that someone shared with him, that this Dr. Paris, who was a dentist in the town of Ambridge, which is just down the hill from us, we live above Ambridge, had said to the neighbors up here at the time that he was building the house of the future, you know?
Right.
So aww. I don't know if it was like a sense of like creating some envy or, you know, just status, but, you know, it was an interesting thing that he was so future focused, even though, you know, lots of these houses were really designed to be, you know, I guess like you could say the Usonian houses for common folk, you know, they weren't designed to be showpieces or for only the elite, but that they were accessible. They were just a different approach on, you know, a design for living, obviously, than the standard, like, you know, post-war suburban houses that were, I don't know, pretty predictable and not not especially, you know, eye-catching or unusual.
Right, right. That's one of the things we were really focused on when we were looking for the house is, you know, we specifically wanted an Eames era house. You know, we looked at many, and there's just, yeah, I don't know if any of you guys have ever looked into them, but, you know, when you do go looking, so many have been modified at this point. And it was hard to find one with really good bones and that you wouldn't have to put a ton of money back into it once you purchased the place. You know, so we were fortunate in this that there was never any children living in it. So it's got all the original subway tile in the bathrooms, and the bar itself that's down in the rumpus room, it's like all vinyl, and it's got one of those chairs that cover up the support pull, and it's round. I call it our genie chair. And, the vinyl on it is in pristine condition and matches the bar, and it's all in, you know, mint green and orange and black, and it's pretty swanky.
we were
thinking of things that, you know, maybe you wish you had, or things that could be different. You know, maybe it was that easy living that brings to mind the fact that we still have these two 1960s American standard commodes in the upstairs bathroom, one in the master bath off our bedroom, and then another in what we call our guest bathroom. But they're unusual in that they float. So they don't have a base to them. They just sort of hang off the wall. One is turquoise and the other is sort of a minty-ish green. And I'm so glad we have them, but I am always in fear that they are somewhere between, you know, now in the afterlife, their afterlife.
You know,
it's a scary thought because there won't be, it won't be easy to go out and buy another mint green or floating toilet. And then what are we going to get stuck with? So that would be the something I wish we didn't have, would be the replacement toilet, because it will always be like the redheaded stepchild.
Over the last year, I've lost 100 pounds. And those things have always terrified me because I'm like, I'm going to rip that thing off the wall. I know I will. But now I just...
No, but it was a very smart idea. It makes cleaning the bathroom so much easier.
Oh, I bet.
Because the little mop just fits right underneath it. There is like no effort. You're not getting down on your hands and knees and rubbing behind the toilet with a rag. You know, it just, it was a smart and sensible addition to the bathroom fixtures at that time. And I wish you could go to the, you know, to a fixture store and buy one now. But
right.
I know we're just going to be in a tough position if something goes bad. And we've had plumbers who sort of, you know, do Band-Aid treatments to make it work. And thankfully, they're plumbers who have been at the house for many years. They know the you know the ins and outs, and they can find ways to work their magic.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
For.
Right.
You know, you can find replacements, but not period specific replacements is a problem, right?
No.
Yeah.
And they match the bathtub, so I mean, there's just a lot of goodness in them. And
yeah.
Well, let's just hope. Here's to a long life for toilets. You know?
So. I was curious, is your awesome house in a mid-century modern neighborhood? Are there other
homes like yours?
No.
We are the sore thumb of the neighborhood, the good sore thumb. The neighbors call it either the Brady Bunch house or they call it Hotel California. And the way the house is situated, we're on a corner lot in a circular neighborhood. And when anyone is, I don't want to sound elitist, but when they're lucky enough to get invited to the backyard, they're just in awe that the entire house, back of the house is all, you know, floor to ceiling windows, and that it's, for what a small neighborhood, it's very private in our backyard. So we call it our little oasis, you know, and during the summer months, we spend probably more time, you know, outdoors than we do in the indoor part. But what's nice with all the windows is you get to look at it all the time, whether it's winter, spring, summer, or fall. You know?
Well, the outside's always a part of the inside. And, you know, everyone who loves this sort of housing knows that's one of its real advantages.
Yeah.
Is that even though the footprint is not huge, I think it's something like, what, 1,800 square feet?
Uh-huh.
But you have, you know, it doesn't stop at a wall. It goes on, you know, from the house to the patio to the backyard. So you just feel like you have a lot more space that's yours. And, you know, your views constantly change. You're not just looking at the world through a window on a wall. You're looking through a wall of windows at the world. Mm-hmm. And that's really pretty wonderful. But I worry about that too, because those windows are huge. And we have a lot of birds. We've had a season of birds up here this year, which has been nice during this whole pandemic time of being home. We're entertained by like our own aviary. But the birds are always hitting the windows. And I think, oh, sweet Jesus, if one of these things cracks one of these windows, like, what are we going to do? You know, we're not talking just a small pane of glass. We're talking, you know, king size pane of glass.
Not to mention last fall, we were sitting watching TV one evening. We heard bang. And I turn around and I'm looking out on the porch because it's empty at this time of the season because we put everything away for the winter. And there's this huge owl sitting there, looking up at me with his big eyes, you know. I don't know how that thing did not crack the window because it was big, you know.
So anyway, let's, you know, not too long ago, I think I talked about this on a previous episode. I am in love with this. It's a refrigerator freezer that mounts above the counter. I can't get over this thing. This and Barbara Eden are my two obsessions in life, besides Paula, of course.
Oh, well, thanks.
Anyway, you know, it's above... At eye level, everything opens kind of sideways. You've got your refrigerator, your freezer. It makes so much sense to me, but you can't get them unless they're used, and even then, hardly ever. You know, that's one of those things from yesteryear that as I'm, you know, growing older and older, that, you know, bending over to get into the freezer or into the fridge, it's just a pain. You know?
It's a smart idea. Actually, when I mentioned us looking at a lot of houses and we had our realtor on the hunt for specific period homes, one of the houses we looked at had one and it was pink.
Ooh.
And the whole kitchen was pink and black. And it was really, really cool. And they also had a built-in deep fryer in the countertop. And when I opened it, the instruction manual was still sitting in it. It had never been used.
No.
I looked at the refrigerator and I was like, oh, that's really cool. It's a refrigerator. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why is there a refrigerator over here on this wall? And the realtor was like, oh, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So I opened it and there was dishes in it.
I was struck by how small it is. So I agree. I mean, it's a cool concept in terms of efficiency and not having just a big box, whether it's stainless steel or black or, you know,
whatever,
traditional white, sitting in your kitchen. But I was like, I think it's a more than adequate size refrigerator, but I'm often struck by how packed it is
for two people.
So what would we do if we only had one of these, you know, sort of compact units? I mean, I guess we would eat less and shop more and be skinnier. I don't know.
Raise your own livestock.
Yeah, right.
Catch one of the deer that goes by in the yard.
Right.
So you were talking before we started recording this about a couple of different things. One that didn't work out so well, but then some other stuff that did.
Would you want to hear the pros or the cons?
You start wherever you like.
Yeah.
Well, let's go with the cons. The cons would be I searched out online for a vintage vertical broiler. And imagine, if you will, something a little bit larger than a toaster, but thin, that the sides popped open and down towards the counter. And then you would place your meat, whether it's a steak or a hamburger or even bacon, and then close it back up. And it was supposed to drain all the juice and drippings away from your meat into a drip pan. Sounds great, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. So, you know, as beautiful of a piece of equipment that it is, an appliance that it is, it's marigold yellow, and it has great graphics around it with bison and chickens, all done in the style of like a Mary Blair 60s kind of artwork. So it's a beautiful appliance that I pull out every once in a while and I look at it and I contemplate using it, and then I put it right back in the cupboard because it's so dang messy to use. So it's just easier to either grill outside or pop whatever you want in the oven.
And Jeffrey, who was the manufacturer on that one?
Sunbeam, I believe.
Sunbeam. Okay.
And the other piece of equipment, or not equipment, but appliance that we have would be our electric bun warmers. And it is one of the best inventions ever, and we use it multiple times a week. And whenever we have a gathering or a party or something around the holidays, it always comes out to keep something warm, whether it's got little pepperoni rolls in it, and people are amazed by it. And they're like, where'd you get that? I'm like, an estate sale, of course.
So
but that's something I can't believe that they don't manufacture pretty readily today, because it's very useful.
Another thing I would say that's in that vein is Jeff has one of the Hoover floating vacuums.
Cool.
Which I did not, you know, as a child, I had a fantasy, like an obsession with vacuum cleaners. I have no idea why. My mother had like a GE canister vacuum. It was orange. And I would love that when you, like, you had to lift these two clamps on the side to take the top off and put the bag in. Like, I can still hear the sound of those clamps in my head. But I was fascinated with it, so fascinated that, like, when I was 4, I asked my parents for a vacuum for Christmas. And, like, they were scarred by all of this for life. And they found, I mean, God bless them. You know, they could have just said, no, you're getting a baseball bat and you'll like it. But they bought me this little plastic upright vacuum.
Aww.
It wasn't what I wanted. I wanted a canister vacuum because I just thought like that was the cat's meow. So when Jeff and I got married and, you know, combined our households, he had this lovely Hoover Constellation, which I adore. It's so sensible. You know, I've had all kinds of vacuums. My late spouse was a collector of the heavy upright vacuums.
Kirby's.
Oh, yeah.
And they were always just impossible to use, like super heavy. And I don't know, like you would build huge biceps, you know, as a housewife moving that thing around the house, especially if you had to carry it upstairs. But the Constellation is so light, and it's a great idea to make it glide on your carpet because you can very easily get around a room without all that like literal drag, you know.
Right. Right.
It just was such a great idea. And I would love to be able to, you know, just go out and buy a new one. Because I know, again, all of these things, we use them, but we know they're on borrowed time to some extent, you know. And that's, there's like a little a bittersweetness about that.
With that in mind, though, and you guys would probably agree with me, especially when it comes to appliances, things were just built to last. It's like today, you know, it's not about function and form. It's about, like, you know what, use it for a year and get rid of it. I can't tell you how many of the single pod coffee makers we go through in a year. I mean, they just do not last, no matter how much you pay for them. But yet our regular drip coffee maker that we're using is an old Norelco from probably 1972. And it's, you know, knock on wood, goes every morning like clockwork.
I know. It's predictable. Excellent cup of coffee. You know, you never have to guess, is it going to do something that's going to just really make the morning a bad one, overflow or whatever. It's just the sensibility of things from that time.
I know Dave has an old freezer that goes back a long time, still running. You know, they didn't have efficiency in mind back then. You just watch the dial on your meter spin like crazy. But how old is your freezer, Dave?
So, pardon me, it's an old Revco deep freeze from the late 50s. And yeah, it's still in our basement, still full of food, still chugging away. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it only costs $15,000 a year to operate. So, it's
So Jeffrey, you mentioned the coffee maker that you guys use. Do you have any old-fashioned on top of the stove percolator?
I do. Well, as we talked about earlier, I'm a little bit of a hoarder, so I have more than one. I have like the quart size and then the 3-quart size. And then I have the big, in case you're having a party, you know, you have the 22 cupper that, you know, has the little pour spout. And then I have probably a few percolators, electric percolators by different manufacturers. And I recycle them. I pull them all out every once in a while and give them a go. And, you know, and I'm a coffee drinker, so I drink coffee from morning till bedtime. And so there's always coffee being made. And when I do make it, I pour it into my Tiger thermal carafe. And it keeps it warm for me all day. And
nice.
It's just really nice. And it's the Tiger brand is the bomb. You have to have that one. And, you know, of course, it's orange with a nice etched silver design going around it, and you pop open the silver lid and pour it out. And it just keeps it really nice and piping hot all day.
And things that you enjoy looking at, you know, exactly. I never grow tired of these things, but I look at, you know, you go down the store, the aisles of a store like a Walmart, and you see the contemporary like cousins of these things. And I call them distant cousins, but they're so boring.
So utilitarian.
Yeah.
And if you do find anything with some style, whether it's anywhere from Target to IKEA to, you know, design within reach, I mean, most of us can't afford, you know. I mean, you would like to be able to go buy whatever you want, but I mean, you know, who can afford a chair from Design Within Reach, you know?
And the downside, I mean, some of these things, I'm thinking back to maybe two Christmases ago. So we have some lovely pieces of casserole dishes and things that brand can
inland glass.
Yes. And there's a great triangular shaped one. Perfect for like the Christmas breakfast casserole that we had. And it has like gold leaf etching and everything on it. So it looked great on the table. Where it didn't look great was when it came out of the dishwasher, because I didn't think at the moment that the gold leaf wasn't going to hold up. I should have known better, but so just obliterated its design altogether.
So it came out plain white. It had gold leaf diamond shapes all over it, which was beautiful. So, but we replaced it with another inland glass one that is even more beautiful. It looks like stained glass.
Yes.
Nice. And triangular shaped, and it comes with the tripod candle burner to set it on so you can keep your casserole warm. And, you know, and we're, like I said earlier, we're big supporters of actually using what we buy. Very rarely do we buy something and not at least give it a go to see if it'll work, like the vertical broiler. You know, and the more we seek those things out, we find that it's really a score when you find new, old, new stock. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have, you know, a vintage crock pot that has like the facade of brick around the design of it, you know, that looks like a printed bricks. And that was new. The Norelco coffee pot I mentioned was brand new in the box, you know, and there's just something really great about being able to open that box and like, you still see the cardboard inner packing and stuff. I'm like, wow, this sat in somebody's house for all these years and I'm giving it life, you know, finally, like our mixer that we use is the same thing. You know? Yeah. It was new old stock from Sears, you know, but it's an interesting way. And we, you know, we seek those things out, whether it's through online auctions or we're not lately, but because of the pandemic, but you know, you go out to the estate sales and it's just nice knowing that somebody held on to something all these years for whatever reason, and it's just not going to end up in a trash heap, you know?
Boy, good mid-century stuff goes fast. If there's a estate sale, you got to get there early. And
you got to get, well, last summer we got, you know, because they put them online early and we got all the little photos and there was two Bertola chairs in the white wire chairs, you know?
Oh, cool.
Like, oh, we'd love to have those for our lanai, you know? And feels like, okay, we'll get up early in the morning. So we get there, crack of dawn on a Saturday morning when, you know, we're off, our only day to sleep in. We get there and there's just masses of people. And I couldn't find a parking spot. I'm like, Phil, get out of the car now. I'll go chairs.
So 10 minutes. Make a beeline to it, you know.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, I'm like, you know, parked, walking half a block up to the house. And I couldn't find him. He's standing there with his hands on these chairs, you know. Women circling him.
I couldn't believe they would have taken those chairs out from right underneath me if they couldn't.
Beautifully on our patio.
Required a little, you know, like some elbow grease and some love, but like, you know, they're just great artsy pieces from a period in time.
Right, right.
That you can't help but like admire the design.
And again, you know, going back to being made to last, I mean, you know, you can see the knockoffs nowadays, like, what's the name? At Home sells that style of chair. But when you look at the way these ones are made compared to these knockoff ones, there's no comparison, you know. So, but that's a good example of things where, you know, a good sense of style sometimes never goes out of style. They're still manufacturing them.
And sturdy also. You know, one of the problems that I run across is, especially vintage, even common, modern day stuff sometimes, but like a vintage sofa that's comfortable is kind of hard to find, you know?
It is.
Have you managed to come across that sort of thing?
Well, we kind of have a little bit of a problem with that because we've been in the house for, it was 5 years in June and we're probably on our fourth couch in the game room because we just, you know, it's our couch where we sit to watch movies and stuff. And we want vintage and we want that look. And we keep giving it a try, but to sit through a 2-hour movie is kind of difficult. Sometimes.
I think they were designed for, you know, shorter stays, you know, maybe a 30-minute, like, you know, Wonderful World of Walt Disney, whatever.
They were made for
two hours is too long. Your bum gets really kind of sore. You know?
They were made for the front room where mom would keep them under plastic the whole time and you weren't allowed to go in there.
And only company sat in those. Right. When you visit,
Couch that's in our living room, we got it in an estate sale and it looks brand new. And the woman who was running the estate sale, I'm like, I can't get over how clean this couch is for a vintage couch. She says, you want to know why? I said, why? She says, because I took the plastic off of it. I was like, well, okay, there you go. So it does work.
So what sorts of other, you know, Paula found at, we were in Michigan.
Oh,
and
yes.
we're at a resale shop.
In Sagatoc, Michigan.
And Paula found and we bought, they're these little plates, but they have a cup holder in the middle. So you can hold your cup in the middle. Handy holders. That's right. And you got the plate around it.
And a little grip.
And it's great for a little cocktail party or something like that. I have never seen that before. And
well, come on over. We have three sets of them.
Okay.
Nice. Three sets.
Oh, good, good, good.
We'll bring our own.
Yeah, because
you need them. They are ingenious, though. That is
They're super cool.
Why are they not making those nowadays?
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
And you know what else I discovered with them? If you don't want to use the center hole for your beverage, it makes a great receptacle for dip if you're having.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like a little chip and dip plate. I didn't even think about that. That's right.
It is our salsa and chips. Yeah.
And we'll have to try to post.
You weren't using just your typical, you know, disposable things that are so just hideous, you know,
utilitarian
and aren't good for the environment. So yeah, you have to wash these when you're done. But you know, you're doing something good for the environment, and you get to serve with like a little flair, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Just don't wash them in the dishwasher.
I just love all. Just don't put them in the
dishwasher. Exactly. Yeah. No, but it's kind of fun, you know, and I think some people probably think we're a little bit weird, but we don't mind, you know. But then in the same respect, you run into people who like kind of really admire what we do and idolize it. We, you know, we've come to know a lot of really cool people, just meeting them either at, you know, sales, or there was an estate sale across the street one day, and a couple, younger couple, you know, she looked like something like Betty Page and he looked like Elvis, and they drove up in their little white convertible, and I just complimented them on the car because they were right across the street, you know, and I started talking. They're like, "Oh man, we love your house." I'm like, "Oh, come in and look at it. We're friends with them now, you know." Nice. And it's amazing. Like, you know, what, it doesn't take much for you to have a lot in common, you know.
It's true.
It really is wonderful, this whole period of time, because there is that sense of optimism, that sense of hope. We live in a world that is so divided and so just struggling right now. And it's just, it's delightful to think back about the good old days. And, you know, not that we didn't have problems back then, but
right,
the reality is that there's this sense of cleanliness and optimism and hope and a future and community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you feel fine about inviting a stranger into your house. Yeah. And, you know, if they like your architecture, it's like, "Oh, come on in, check it out."
We do it all the time. We're probably obnoxious about it because we're proud of it. And we feel honored that people realize that we've left the integrity of the house, because everyone, you know, especially now with the pandemic, people have been walking the neighborhood a lot, and we get compliments on the house, you know, and they're always curious, does the inside match the outside? And the answer is yes, you know, because often they don't. And I just think it's like exciting for people to step in and see that. You know, we get comments from like, "Oh my God, it looks like Pee-wee's Playhouse," to, you know, "Isn't it fantastic that you stepped into a movie set?" You know, but it's not a movie set that we don't live in. You know, I keep stressing, we use what we buy.
Right. We bought a mid-century home here in Cleveland, but it had been refurbished to more contemporary, modern style, and not potent, you know, not modern in the good sense, but, and we bought it basically because we were in a rush and we had to buy something that we could live in, and it was move-in ready. But, you know, now we're slowly hoping to take it back one step at a time, more toward the original look that it would have had. And it's going to be a long process, but
it'd be a fun project, though.
Yeah. But you saw our basement, though. So we got the tiki bar. So that's a good start.
Oh, they saw it.
Yes, you sent me some pictures. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So fun.
He had priorities when we moved in. Right. That was the big one.
Of course, you
got to
play the Exotica music, right?
But of course. Of course. Yes.
Of course.
You know, that's something else. We could just have you and David go for hours, I think, on vinyl and music.
My gosh,
of the
80s. Yes.
Oh, really?
Dave's our music expert in the group.
I just recently started a TikTok page. And so I've been having a blast posting these little videos on there. And, you know, I've already got a few thousand followers, and I got, 30,000 likes and everything. And I mid-century focused on it. Mm-hmm. And I just posted some short videos of my Exotica collection. And people are going crazy, you know, like, "Well, where'd you get that?" And then, like, most of them are like, "Okay, where'd you get the record stand?" You know, they're more interested in the rack than the records.
Well, I saw the image of the Space Escapade TikTok. I don't have the apps, so I couldn't get it to play. But it's the one title in my Les Baxter collection that I still haven't come up with yet. So,
have you heard the album? It's a very good album. It's
fine. Yeah. I have a digital download of it, but I don't have the original vinyl.
Yeah. I think one of our favorite ones is the Bob Thompson collection. He only did four albums, but his albums are fantastic. I mean, they're good and they look good. I often say, like when we go to, I don't know, thrift stores and we look through the albums, like even if I've seen, you know, several albums again and again, I'm still intrigued by just how beautifully they were designed. The photography is sumptuous. I mean, they were really, you know, just well staged, and they draw you in because they take you someplace else. And then, you know, when you add the music element to it, when you take that record out and play it, like you really, it will be someplace else. So it's just like, you don't get that from
digital download. Right. Exactly. And you don't get to look at beautiful Sandy Warner, who appeared on several Bob Thompson covers.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Who I found on a Andre Constellet album is Deborah Harry. She was a model on one of them. I'm like, that looks like Blondie.
And on Castellanets records?
She is, yes.
Really?
Wow. She's the model on the cover. But it is kind of interesting to come across it. So now I keep it in my little Blondie section, even though she doesn't sing on it. But yeah, it's kind of cool. And it kind of circles back around to things that, you know, we like that they should still be making. And luckily, vinyl is one of those things. We just were at Target last weekend, and it's not a big section, but they actually have a vinyl section at Target. And if you would have told me even a year ago that I'd be able to walk into a record store, or into a department store and find a record, I'd have told you you're out of your gourd, you know. And it's just really cool. And it's neat because I have a daughter who's in her 20s, a millennial, and she's so into vinyl. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I try to get out of her, well, what is it that, you know, you guys like about it? Because you guys are the digital download age. And it's just really interesting that they like the physicality of it. She has a shelving unit on her wall behind her stereo, and she displays all the album artwork on it. And she changes it out every few weeks. And, you know, it's really cool. So it's something I think that is nice that it came back around again.
I don't have hardly any vinyl, but I do want to start collecting it. And I started this in 1986. That handsome guy in the back, you might recognize him. He had hair back then. But
would that be you?
That would be me. But
we found a few of these.
No, I am really, really looking forward to getting a good vinyl collection going. And between you and Dave, I know I've got two good guides here to
I have an excellent place for you to start. They've just re-released. Well, I think they're pre-ordering them now. I'll post a link on our Facebook page, but they've re-released three of the Martin Denny Exotica records on colored vinyl. They're $20 a piece, I think. But if you order all three or four of them, you get a discount. So those definitely going on my wish list. So
yes,
Craig, that's a good place for you to start.
And turntables are becoming more and more available, new ones, you know. The old ones, you're hoping that the belts work and everything else.
I've been
else.
Seeing them at estate sales. I've been doing them.
You know what? They're not too hard to get working again, though. Mm-hmm. We have a Zenith, and we have the behind us, I don't think you guys can see it, the Space Age bubble one, the circular one.
Yeah, you showed me a picture of that.
I had that imported to us from Canada. And it wasn't it was working, but it wasn't dropping the records. So I took it to this little old guy that had been working on record players for years, and he got it working for us in a snap. Oh. And it's been a beautiful addition to our living room. We use it every day.
I think
there's awesome
player in between though that disappointed us. Was it a GE?
Yeah, I think that was a JCPenney.
Yeah, the sound wasn't very good. It just always was not, just wasn't quite there.
So we upgraded to the Apollo, it's called, and it's silver and it's got the black dome on it.
And I love the sound of the records dropping. Again, that just takes me back to being, you know, 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
And it's just such a touchstone with a moment in time, just like the clamps on that.
Well, I think
soul food for the senses.
Maybe we should wrap it up here, but it's been great having you guys on the Mid Podcast.
It's been awesome. Thank you so much.
And I hope we'll have you back for some other. You're full of great topics. So we'll have you back.
A lot more to talk about, that's for sure. Absolutely. I'm one of those people that is a hoarder. So I have a 1964 World's Fair collection. Mm-hmm. I have a vintage toy collection. I was even on that. There was a show called The Toy Hunter. I was on that on one of the episodes for my collection. And hey, whatever you guys want to talk, give us a ring.
That's awesome. Jeffrey yes. Rhodes and Philip Seinart, thanks so much. And stay thank swell,
you.
Guys.
Thank you.
We will. Thank you. Spin that vinyl.
See you next time.
Take care, you guys.
Stay swell.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Min Modcast. We'll see you next time.
Adios, amigos.